Marcy.
Bring it.
Thank you.
Oh, you know what? I'm so bad. I was out of it for 2 weeks. Our kids can be released. Sorry. There you are.
Thank you, Pastor Justin. It's actually such an honor to be here. Some of you, a lot of you I know, if you don't know me, my name is Marcy Polreich. I've actually gone to this church for about 33 years. This is my home, and I'm glad to be home. I really haven't disappeared for a year and a half. I want you to know that. God has allowed me the privilege to just share the things that he's done and continue the vision that he placed in my heart. I've been speaking at many other churches, and I just thank many of you for your prayers. I'm grateful. This is my home, but I'm nervous. Can you tell? Let's just be honest right now. Let's just get it all out. I'm terrified. Okay. Hi, let's... thank you. You know, I actually, this is such a beautiful day today. Everything about it. The sun's out. Got another day of life that was granted to you. It's Darlene's birthday. Happy birthday, Darlene. I don't know how many other people it's your birthday, but happy birthday. But I want you to know, 29 years ago, I stood here with Pastor Ed, and we set our marriage vows today. So today would have been our 29th wedding anniversary. So 29 years ago, I stood there with him. 29 years later, I'm still standing, and he is with Jesus. And for that, I'm grateful. You know, I will forever be grateful for God's, his a glorious gift of amazing, amazing grace. Amen. Amazing grace. And therefore, I proclaim his amazing grace and peace over you as well. Amen. So. I just want to start with, I have a slideshow. Before I start, I kind of want to just let you know how I'm doing, how we're doing, what we've been doing. I still have continued on with World Outreach Ministries. I've been to Africa twice since Pastor Ed passed away, and God is still doing amazing things. And you know, it's not that God's just doing amazing things in Africa. God's doing amazing things in our nation and in our world. And I'm so excited for God's continual, what he's doing. I love it. I love seeing it. But I just want to share a few things that have happened. And I want to show you some slides. I know Pastor Dave and Darlene told you we had the privilege of going. I actually did not get to go up to the refugee camp. But this is one area that the Lord has really impacted my heart. There's been two areas with World Outreach Ministries that I have really shared the vision of. One thing is with our the refugee camp. If, like, just to give you a refresher, in the refugee camp is where our people from our Sudan mission are at this time. They were chased from Sudan. There is still war in Sudan. Pastor Ed, his last Sunday that he preached was in Sudan on the compound, which we are no longer in right now. But our group of team members that worked in Sudan, our Sudanese, they are now at a refugee camp in Uganda. I don't know it's exactly right, Pastor Dave would know, but I think there's like over 180,000 people in that refugee camp. But I just get excited because these people, talk about people that are your heroes. When you can go into a refugee camp, when you can get kicked out of your own nation, you can lose family members, you lose your home, you lose clothes. These guys don't have clothes. And they get into a refugee camp, and they say this, that even though we are displaced, we are not refugees, we're missionaries. What a perspective. Yeah. What a perspective. And I think we told you before, we sent money to build. You can go to the next one, please. To build a structure. You can see right now this is school going on. Go ahead to the next slide. This right here is the structure of our church. They asked us to send money to build a structure of a church, and they take it and they utilize it. And you could see that the kids were at school. Go to the next slide. And you can still see that we are doing school. And our 13 teachers from South Sudan, they came and they said, you know what? We know how to teach kids, so we're going to teach any kids that want to know how to, that need to come to school, and we're going to teach them to read and write. So they're continuing on and teaching in this refugee camp. So it's an incredible work that is going on. We ask that you would continue to pray. Is there one more on South Sudan or not yet? Okay. Just continue to pray for peace at South Sudan. We pray someday eventually we will get to go back to that compound. Pastor Dave and Darlene, they're all ready to go. They're going to be the first ones to go and get us back in there and functioning. But just keep praying for their support. We want to continue to support these teachers because they're doing this all on their own, and there's not a lot at the refugee camp. The second thing I want to share is, go ahead with the next slide. This right here, I have worked on a road project. And this road project was in memory of Pastor Ed and Scott and Pastor Kawesa. This right here, if you look at this slide, at the very top of this hill is where our guest house is. This is the hill that the guys were going down. It is not in good shape at all. And I've been just really challenged, myself and Jesse Kroc, to really see God provide the finances to get this road done right. And you know, I'll tell you something. You can build more churches and you can have more things and you can do this and this, but can I also tell you this? God wants us to steward everything around us good. And one thing I really believe is a safety issue. This actually, I look at it over and over again, and I tell them at World Outreach, I'm like, it was the mercy of God. If you see up above here, you can see a bus that is a coaster bus. Many of you have been in Uganda. Some of you young people, who here went years ago with the GLs? Kara did. You guys remember how bad that road was. And the mercy of God that one of those buses didn't go over where the guys went over. Tragedy on the guys, but we think about that often, how the mercy of God has really been upon the mission. And so we took this project on, and we began to say, God, you're going to just have to provide it. And we are doing this road in memory of the guys. If you go to the next slide, you'll kind of somewhat see what the road looks like. Next one here, let's see. This right here, it may not look really steep to you. Some of you that have been there would know how steep it is. But this is what it looked like. And all of a sudden, we decided we would start fixing it. So go ahead with that next slide. So now you are seeing, go ahead, we'll just kind of go through it a little bit. Stop right here. So this right here is an exciting view of this road because this is actually down from the guest house. We were able to level it in a way that it wasn't down straight. You can see straight ahead where the trees are, that, and there's like a turn. That turn right now has been now widened that it's like a two-laner. And we are just excited to see this happen. The next slide you can go ahead and show. So this is kind of at the bottom of the hill as well. Go to the next one. Just you'll see it. You'll see it's going little by little. Go ahead with that last one. So this is at the very end down here, at the very end where it's graded. Right before that is the turn, and over that is where the cliff was. And we are seeing God's just amazing grace on this project. And I just wanted to share with you what was going on with it. We still have to do the corner around and make sure that it's held by barriers. And we want to be able to just dedicate this to the guys in memory of them. And so we want to just let you know what's been going on. There's so many things going on in Africa. And of course, no matter where we go, even in the United States, there's always all kinds of needs. But I wanted to share this with you because there are many of you in this church that invested a lot of finances into this project. In fact, some of you that invested in this project didn't know that this was the project that was happening. It was on my heart. It's in my heart to see it completed. And I know Pastor Ed's saying, come on, Mars, get that road up and going. He will be happy. So I just wanted to give you kind of a little glimpse of what we've been doing in Africa. I continue on because God told me to. I can't say that I always want to, but God said, this is where I have you for such a time as this. And so with that in mind, I continue to just do what God is calling me to do. I've told many people this. I think about Eve in the garden. She lived in this beautiful garden. She had everything, but she looked at the one thing she couldn't have, and it took her out of the garden. I think my life has been a beautiful garden. And if I look at the one thing I don't have, it could take me out of that garden, and I'm not going to choose that. And it's right. Pastor Justin, he shared today, you know, most things in life are choices that we make. Joy is a choice. How many parents here have told their kids, joy is a choice, and you're going to choose it? Okay? Just so you know, joy is a choice. Attitude is a choice. Everything we do in life is a choice. For the good or the bad, you choose. You choose. This is a thing that I have learned, is this, that humility and trust in God go hand in hand. Because when our prayer requests are not answered how we think they should be answered, we need to trust God in the midst of it. We have to. Because this is why most of the people in the Bible, you read stories about Joseph. If you don't know stories about Joseph, basically this was his life. He went from prison to the palace. He didn't pray that direction. You know what? Read the story of Samson. He went from a calling to strength to weakness. Read the story of Moses. From greatness to murder to going back to doing what God's had him was called to do. What about Peter? He denied Christ. He thought a lot of himself. Over and over again, you can read about David. David, the greatest man that God said, I searched the whole world looking for one man after my heart. You know who he found? He found David. Man of perfection, right? Oh, yeah, if you've never read about him, read him. Man of perfection. You know what? He committed adultery and murder. But you know what? He knew where his source was. He knew God. And you know what? He also has a plan for you and for me. And there's many times, and I'm sure many of you guys can ask this question. It's been hard for me to understand that my broken heart has been a part of God's plan. Yeah. But nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. Good. There are many things that we will never know or understand this side of heaven. Things like why some people are healed and why some aren't. Why some people are spared from tragedy and some aren't. But we need to know that when our prayers aren't answered, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're doing something wrong. Sometimes it means we're doing everything right. Yeah. Remember, when we're living a life pleasing to God, we are more a target for the enemy. The reason I tell you that is when all odds are against you, do you believe the best or the worst? And see, I can stand here and say that to you because all odds were against me. And I could choose to believe the best or the worst. And I've choose to believe the best. You know what? We do go through hard times. We go through things that happen. And then you find yourself in a situation that you either have to choose to go this way or that way. And to be honest with you, there's some things we can't change. We don't have the power to change it. There's things that happen in our life that can choose us to either emotionally, spiritually, every area to either live or die. We can choose to live or die. It's our choice. It's our choice. You know, I've been thinking a lot and praying a lot about GHCC. We've had a lot of transitions the last year and a half. You know what? Pastor Justin, I love you. You are an awesome pastor, and I want you to know that. So, everybody else obviously thinks the same thing, but if they don't, I want you to know that I think you're totally awesome, okay? And I think you got what it takes. And this is my encouragement to GHCC today. Let me remind you of something. Pastor Ed was exactly the same age as Justin when he became your senior leader. He pastored here at the church for 27 years, but same age as Pastor Justin when he became your senior leader. You want me to tell you what made Pastor Ed so great? Because you were his greatest fan. You were his greatest fan. You were his greatest fan. Even through the good, bad, and the ugly, and all the times he put his foot in his mouth on this stage, which happened many times, and I saw all your eyes looking at me saying, what's she gonna do? And I'm like, just keep smiling. They're all staring. But, I mean, let's just be real, okay? Let's now that, you know what, now I can tell you the true secrets of a pastor's wife. Okay, I saw your eyes all looking at me. What's she gonna do? But you know what? That's what made him great. Because you were his greatest fans. You believed in the next generation. Hear my heart, you guys. It is not a bad thing that we're not doing GL for what, for a year, or if it's 2 years. Let me tell you why. I can hear it quiet. I'm sorry if I'm stepping on anyone's toes, but I want you to hear this. We are still a generational church. What if we are going through a time in a season? I was told this, maybe I'm not totally accurate, that there were 170 kids at VBS. I'm hearing there are young people that come here and pray, what, Saturday nights? Sunday nights. There are people in our community. Do you know what? What if it is that God's taken a season to restructure? Because this is what I believe he's doing. He's restructuring and saying, you know what? You focused here at this age. Put your focus back on these 170 and bring them with you. And when you get them there, we'll start up again. But you know what? It may never be the same. And see, for me, when I hear about what's going on at GHC, I'm excited. Don't you have vision for it? How can you not? I don't look at it like, this is over. Are you kidding? This is not over. This is just the beginning. And you know what? Of all people, I'm the one that can say this. Because when my husband died, you know what I could have said? This is the end. Are you kidding? I have 5 kids that their dad built something in them. And I can either choose to say, you know what, it's over, or I can choose to say, it's not over, it's only begun. I got to keep fighting the fight. I got to keep running, because for the sake of my kids and for the sake of your kids, please don't lose your focus. It is not that generational leadership is over. Generational, it's always from the next to the next to the next to the next. Don't forget it. Remember, this is a great thing. It's exciting. I'm excited. I'm sorry I'm getting too excited, Justin, but I pray for this church. This is my home church. I see that there are things that God is going to do and continue to do, and it's going to happen through things that are heartaches. Your heart is going to get broken, but you know what? It's not going to stay there unless you choose to keep it there. You can't choose to keep it there. That's not what God would want. And you know, you can use all these illustrations for yourself in the church. You know, that's what I love about family and life, because almost everything we feel, I think God feels. It's almost like he's finally like, oh, you're finally getting it. You know, I think about when Pastor Ed died, I told somebody this. I said, I remember the first week where I would hold my head and I would say, you have the mind of Christ and your thinking processes are sharp. And I did it day after day after day. And you know what? This is what I came to the realization. My kids had already lost one parent. They did not need a crazy mom. Well, I probably was half the time, but they didn't know that part. Now Jessica knows. Yeah. Thanks, Mom. Now you tell us you're crazy. No. But you know what? Think about that. Think about that analogy. You know what? There's still a lot of kids that need fathers and mothers to breathe into their lives. There are kids that still are younger, up, 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 and let's just move with it. Let's move with God. Let's align ourselves in an area that we move with God. I'm sorry, Pastor Justin, I could probably preach 10 sermons this morning, but I won't. So I'm going to get back on track because I have a word for you today. Sorry. Hopefully you might have to, you might have to help me. I'll tell you this, one thing that has really happened to me the last year and a half. I've actually, you can ask Pastor Dave and Darlene, I told Pastor Dave, I said, I think I just got saved. He's like, no, you were saved. I'm like, no, like, I think I finally understand the Word of God. And, you know, it's amazing how much the Word of God transforms your life. And you know what? I go to many churches, and let's see your reaction. Maybe your reaction won't be the same, but how many in here ever think that the Bible is boring? Who is not telling the truth? Okay, you know what? Yeah, I know. I shock everybody with that statement when I go to preach at a church. They're like, are you kidding us? She's a woman. Now she just asked everybody if the Bible's boring, you know, and the pastor's like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have had her. But, you know, I'm just going to tell you, see all this honesty that comes out after I've been the pastor's wife for so long. Now you're knowing the honesty. She knows what you think at the front, and she's telling you the Bible is boring. Let me tell you this. I learned something new about the Bible. It is far from boring. It's how you read it. It's how you think of it. And you know, if you don't, honestly, if you're only reading King James, I apologize for all of you that read King James. I do not understand King James. I just can't do it. In fact, the best Bible I've read this year is the Brick Bible. Who knows what it is? What's wrong with you guys? It's the Lego Bible. It's awesome. Everybody in here needs to go buy it. You can lead anybody to the Lord with the Lego Bible. I am not kidding you. I have done it with older people nowadays. I'm like, oh no, the Bible is not boring. Let me show you. No, the Brick Bible. My grandson loves the Brick Bible, Judah. He tells me, Grammy, look at all these. Look at all these Lego people. They're all in the Bible. This is what happened. I love that Bible. It's my favorite. So you know what? When it becomes your favorite, then you can make fun of me. Okay, Justin's like, I'm going to get one today. anyways, but I've really learned to read the Message. And I love the Message. In fact, the Message has been like it's brought the Bible a love story to me. And though there is a lot of war, don't worry, guys, we're not going into just love stories here, but there's a lot of war and love story in the Bible. And I love it. And, you know, it's something because this last year I've found myself just reading and reading Scripture and listening to Scripture, maybe because I didn't know what else to do. Maybe that's a good place for some of us to find ourselves, is when you don't know what else to do, you got to just listen and listen and listen to God's Word. And it became alive to me like never before. In fact, help me, Pastor Justin, if I get off and do a rabbit trail, help me, because I literally could preach 10 different sermons because I'm so full of what God has put in my heart. But okay, anyways, encouragement to you. Read your Word. Get the Lego Bible. If your King James's version is boring, it's okay. Get the Lego Bible. Find something and make it come alive and well in you. So here it goes. This is my title today, is One Shot is All I Need. And just so you know, I am going to read a lot of the Bible. Is that okay? Like, I don't think I really want to come here and have just good stories for you, but I have this awesome story in the Bible. And you know, it's when I get started here, many of you will know, it comes out of 1 Samuel 17. Everybody looks at it as that is an old children's story that we heard years ago. But you know what? This old children's story about David and Goliath has been my life. And I hope that I can let you see it in a new perspective. But I am going to start by reading. I want you to know I am reading out of the Message. I am reading out of 1 Samuel 17. I am paraphrasing. So you just need to go back and read your own Bible to find out that it is accurate. Okay, I like to make sure that people know that it is the Word of God. Okay, we're going to get started here. So Saul and the Israelites came together, camped at Oak Valley, and spread out their troops in battle readiness for the Philistines. The Philistines were on one side of the hill, and the Israelites were on the opposite side with a valley between them. A giant, nearly 10 feet tall, stepped out from the Philistine line into the open. His name was Goliath. He had a bronze helmet on his head and was dressed in armor, 126 pounds of it. He wore bronze shin guards and carried bronze sword. His spear was like a rail fence. The spear tip alone weighed over 15 pounds. His shield bearer walked ahead of him. What do you think? Sounds pretty intimidating, right? Let's continue on. Goliath said, "Why bother using your whole army? Am I not Philistine enough for you? So pick your best fighter and send him to me. If he gets the upper hand and kills me, the Philistines will all become your slaves. But if I get the upper hand and kill him, you'll become our slaves and serve us. I challenge the troops of Israel this day. Give me a man and let's fight it out together." Now back at the camp, when Saul and his troops heard the Philistines' challenge, they were terrified and lost hope. Now, I want you to know something. The Bible tells us this. Each and every morning for 40 days, Goliath takes his stand and makes his speech. Okay? Let's talk about this for a moment. For 40 days, Goliath gets up every morning, every night, and does his little threat chant, but does nothing. Think about it. Here is this giant. For 40 days, he didn't need to wait 40 days. He was already a big guy. He could come and advance and take them out. Sometimes I think about that and I think, this doesn't make sense. But see, this is why I believe he waited 40 days. Because when the giants in your life come, the more they wait, the weaker you become. The more frightened you get, the weaker you become. And so Goliath is for 40 days scaring the Israelites. He's just over and over again. And you know what? They're getting more and more scared, more and more weak. That's what the enemy does to us over and over and over again, trying to make us fearful and paralyze us so that we remain under the influence of great fear. You see, the enemy does know if he can trap you in that place, he has you, because you will stop praying, you'll stop believing in God. Wow. Let's go back to the story. Now, back at the home front, there was a man named Jesse, father of 8 sons, 3 which were at war. David was the youngest son. While his 3 older brothers went to war with Saul, David went back and forth from attending to Saul to attending his father's sheep in Bethlehem. One day, Jesse told David, his son, "Take this sack of cracked wheat and these 10 loaves of bread and run them down to your brothers at the camp. And take these 10 wedges of cheese to the captain of their division. Check in on your brother to see whether they are getting along all right, and let me know how they are doing." So David was up at the crack of dawn, and having arranged for someone to tend his flock, took the food and was on his way just as Jesse had directed him. He arrived at the camp just as the army was moving into battle formation, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines moved into position, facing each other, battle ready. David left his bundle of food in the care of a soldier, ran to the troops who were deployed, and greeted his brother. While they were talking together, the Philistine champion, Goliath, stepped out from the front line of the Philistines and gave his usual challenge, and David heard him. Now, if you think about that part of scripture, Goliath, it says, the Philistine champion. So he had a record. Goliath had a record. No wonder he was intimidating. They knew that he was a great fighter that had probably lots of medals. Who knows? But they called him a champion. The Israelites, to a man, fell back the moment they saw the giant, totally frightened. The talk among the troops was, "Have you ever seen anything like this? This man openly and defiantly challenging Israel. The man who kills the giant will have it made. The king will give him a huge reward, offer his daughter as a bride, and give his entire family a free ride." Wow, don't you think that's a great prize? Yeah. But yet no one went up to the plate. David, who was talking to the men standing around him, asked, "What's in it for the man who kills the Philistine and gets rid of this ugly blot off of Israel's honor?" Who does he think he is, anyways, taunting the army of God alive? What I love about David is he called it for what it was. He said, who does he think he is, anyways, taunting the armies of God alive? See, that's exactly what the enemy does to us. He taunts you over and over and over again. David's older brother heard David talking with the men, and he lost his temper. What are you doing here? Why aren't you minding your own business, tending the scrawny flock of sheep? I know what you're up to. You've come down here to see the sights, hoping for a ringside seat at a bloody battle. What is it with you? Replied David. All I did was ask a question. Ignoring his brother, so do you hear that? All of a sudden, David's going like this to his brother. Talk to the hand, because I'm not listening to you. And he turns and he pretty much says, ignoring his brother, he turns to someone else and asks the same question. And he got the same answer as before. Let me remind you of something. I love this quote. Eleanor Roosevelt said this, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. And I think of that. I think, okay, I love that quote, but even more so, no one can make you feel inferior when you have the power of God. The things David was saying were picked up and reported to Saul. Saul sent for him. Master, said David, don't give up hope. I'm ready to go and fight this Philistine. Saul answered David, you can't go and fight this Philistine, David. You're too young and inexperienced. And he's been at this fighting business since before you were born. Never underestimate the power of God. And never underestimate who you are when the power of God lives in you. Continuing on, David said, I've been a shepherd tending my sheep for my father. Whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I'd go after it, knock it down, and rescue the lamb. If it turned on me, I would grab it by the throat, wring its neck, and kill it. Lion or bear, it made no difference. I killed it. And I'm going to do the same thing to this Philistine pig who is taunting the troops of God alive. And you know what he says? God who delivered me from the teeth of the lion and the claws of the bear will deliver me from this Philistine. Did you hear what he said? He said, God who delivered me from the teeth of the lion and the claws of the bear will deliver me from the Philistine. I would say David was pretty convincing. Yeah. You know why? Because David knew where his source and his strength came from. He knew the power of his father. I love that illustration when you know that. You know, he knew the power of his father. I don't know if many of you guys remember this illustration, but I love it because it's such a great example. And if I was to say, ask, let's see, there's no one in here, but if I was to ask baby Titus, little baby Titus, I want you to go over here and pick up Papa. Does he call it Grandpa? Papa. And I want you to carry him to the back door. Do you think that baby Titus could pick up Papa here and carry him to the back door? He can. You know why? Because he knows who his father is. All he has to do is come up here and say, Dad, I got to carry Papa to the back door, and I need your help. See, because again, he knows who his father is. And see, David knew who his father was. He knew the power of the father. You see, David believed God was bigger than this guy. He was bigger than the giant. See, David was an ordinary guy that was willing to do extraordinary things because of the power of God was in him. Continuing back to the word of God, Saul said, then go and God help you. I'm sure, look at his face. He's probably, you know, they say Saul was a big guy and handsome, good. And he's probably looking like, okay, the little guy is going to do it, but I'll bless him. God help you and go with you. So Saul gave David his armor. He put the bronze helmet on his head and belted his sword on over the armor. David tried to walk, but he could hardly budge. David told Saul, I can't even move with all this stuff on. I'm not used to it. And he took it off. See, this is the thing. Don't try to use someone else's battle plan, but rather use God's battle plan for your life. He will instruct you personally. Just listen for his voice that says, this is the way. Now walk in it confidently and boldly. That's God's battle plan. So then David took his shepherd's staff and 5 stones from the brook, and he put them in the pocket of the shepherd's pack. And with his sling in his hand, he approached Goliath. Yes. So here he comes. You know what? This is his plan, direction that God gave him. You know what? And think about this. I'm sure that David wasn't just thinking, oh, okay, I'll just take my little sling and grab a rock. I think God gave him some instructions. Okay? God gave him some instructions. He said, hey, David, you know what? I'm your father. I'm with you. I got this, okay? This is what I want you to do. Are you listening to me, son? Are you listening to me? Go down to the brook, grab 5 stones. Just grab them. Get a real flat, smooth one, okay? Take your sling and just follow my move. Are you sure, God, this works? Yeah. The guy is 9 feet tall or whatever he is. But I hear, maybe I'm really not hearing you. Maybe I'm really not hearing you. How many times do you guys do that? Yeah. When the Lord, some voice tells you, go do something or go see somebody. I don't want to go see them. Are you kidding? They were mean to me. I'm sure that's not God that I just heard. There's no way. Well, think about David. You know what? People in the Bible were just like you and I. You can't just look at people and think, oh, they're, you know, they had something supernatural. Well, he did have something supernatural. He had God in him. So now Jesus says, okay, son, I got their attention. You're going to do what I'm going to have you do. So David took his shepherd's staff, 5 small stones from the brook, and put them in his pocket of the shepherd's pack. And with a sling in his hand, he approaches Goliath. As Goliath paced back and forth, his shield bearer in front of him, he noticed David. He took one look down at him and he laughed. A mere youngster, a child? Goliath ridiculed David. Am I a dog that you would come after me with a stick? And he cursed him by his gods. Come on, said Goliath. I'll make roadkill of you for the buzzards. I'll turn you into a tasty morsel for the field mice. Let me tell you something. Those lying voices of intimidation, we hear all the time in our mind. I'm going to take you out. You can't do it. You're sick. Sue, don't listen to that mind that says Danny won't have feeling, because God can bring that feeling back. Don't let that taunting enemy say it can't happen, because in God it can happen, and we can believe it and we can ask it every moment of the day. And you know what? There's a time in our lives when we hear these voices saying, you can't do it. How many times, I know, Justin, because I've been there, that you probably said, am I even in the right place? I can't do this. You know what? Don't say it again. You can do it, because the power of God is in you. Okay? You can do it. Every one of you, I could go around and point to you, no matter where you at, not even in the church, while you're in your workplace. Even Michelle, I love sitting here talking to Michelle. She's a woman of vision. And you know what, Michelle? You can do everything you put your mind to, as long as you let the power of God lead you and direct you. That means when he says, Michelle, just pick up one little stone, and you think, God, are you sure that's going to work? Pick it up anyways. and see what happens. And you know what? I think that this, what happened, is God himself through David said, all of a sudden, this enemy taunting him for 40 days, and he turns around and he says, enough! I've had enough! How many times? You guys, seriously, get this. Get this. How many times does the enemy try to take you down? You're following one direction. You're going in a good way. And all of a sudden, something happens in your life like Peter. And you're like, oh, I'm a failure. I denied Christ. So I'm going to go back to my old ways. That's another sermon in itself. So we'll leave that one alone. But think about that. How many times do you do that? When all of a sudden that voice is taunting you over and over and over again. And when are you going to say, enough? I've had enough. David answered Goliath like this. You come at me with a sword and spear and battle axe, but I come at you in the name of God of the angel army, the God of the Israel troops whom you curse and mock. This very day, God is handing you over to me. I'm about to kill you, cut off your head, and serve your body and the body of your and the bodies of your Philistine buddies to the crows and the coyotes. And the whole world will know that there is an extraordinary God in Israel. And everyone gathered here will learn that God doesn't save by means of sword or spear. The battle belongs to God. He's handing you to us today on a platter. That's a little guy with a lot of big words. And you know what? He meant it. Because his papa told him, pick up the stone and this little thing and go ahead and make him mad with my name, because it's the one thing that will make the enemy mad. When you say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And he knew that his power was in him. He made Goliath so angry. You guys, this is the word. This is not my story. This is the word of God. These things actually happened. This made Goliath angry, and he started towards David. David took off from the front line, running towards Goliath, reached into his pocket for the stone, slung it, and it hit Goliath. The first time, all he needed was one shot. You know what? God already knew he needed one shot. Why did he tell him to pick up five stones? I don't get that part. He knew. He knew he was going to do it the first time. But let me just tell you, when he reached into the pocket for the stone, he slung it and it hit Goliath hard in the forehead, embedding the stone deep in, and Goliath crashed face down into the dirt. That's how David defeated the Philistine, with a sling and a stone. And Jesus, he hit him and killed him with the power and presence of an extraordinary God. Yeah. See, you don't know that the amazing thing about this story is that God's power in us can make us do amazing things. It is not us. See, Jesus is the giant killer. We are called to participate and line ourselves up with him just as David did. It wasn't this little boy, David. It was Christ in him, the hope of glory. God is the God of mercy. He's the rescuer. He wants to deliver his people. And he wants to deliver you if you let him. You know, I love this story. And as I close, I just want to ask many of you today, how many times has that taunting giant just tormented you and paralyzed you? How many times? How many times do you hear that voice? You can't do it. You don't have what it takes. How many times do you hear a voice that causes you to have fear? Even this, what if I get cancer? What if I do this? What if I do that? What if, what if, what if? You know, Pastor Ed used to tell me this, 99.9% of what ifs never happen. I probably say that a little different because I'm like, okay, Ed, so you're the 1%? I can't wait to have that discussion with him. Because you don't know how many times he told us that. Ask Jessica. Well, we would say, but what if? 99.9% of what ifs never happen. Okay. I believe, though, a lot of times that that's true. Well, what if I do this? What if I do that? What if I stand up here and I don't speak what you like? What if this? What if that? But you know what? The what ifs don't matter as long as it's the power of God that is in us. You know, my favorite thing, and it's become more of a reality to me. I love it, and I'm sorry for saying this, but he was such a great inspiration in my life. I loved being married to Pastor Ed. He was a little booger sometimes. He just could irritate the daylights out of you. But you know what? He loved life, and he loved Jesus like none other. And really, he taught me even more and more to love Jesus and believe in God and the power of God and what God could do in you. And you know, I want to tell you this. The last year, you know, since you're my family, I'm just going to share something really vulnerable with you. But I believe Pastor Ed's death was an untimely death. But I also know this, that God was fully aware of it. And through this last year, as I've grown closer to God, many of us know that God knows the beginning and the end of our lives. His word says that. And my perspective has changed just a little. I still believe it was an untimely death. But yet, what if it was the beginning and the end of Ed's life? And that's what God chose for him. One thing I know is that Ed would tell me, I want it to be said that in my lifetime that I fulfilled the purposes of Christ. And when God is done with me, I just want to go be with him. And I believe that Pastor Ed, while he was here, fulfilled the purposes of Christ in his life. And he learned the secret of when the enemy came at him and told him, you can't do this, you can't do that. He learned the secret of saying, you're right, I can't do that, but God who lives in me can do that. He can do that. And you know, I've thought about that. I thought when God said, Marce, continue on, I want you to share. You know what I did? I threw everything at God that I could. What do you mean? Did you forget I'm a woman? Oh, Marce, did you forget? So was Esther. So was Deborah. So was Mary. All these women in the Bible. It has nothing to do with gender. So I've chosen this last year. And I feel like, in closing, I just want to pray for some of you because I really do feel in my mind, that or feel in my spirit, that there has been a lot of attacks of the enemy in your mind. What's going to happen? How are things going to go? I don't know. I don't know the outcome of all things. But I know I'm going to trust Jesus. That's all I have to do. I don't know what else to do but to trust God in his word. Does that mean everything's going to line up perfectly? No, it's not. It's not going to line up how you wanted it to be. Because if I had my life lined up the way it wanted to be, it wouldn't be what it is right now. But I think that we need to, as GHCC, we need to get to that place where when the enemy comes at us and says stuff, that we're saying, you know what? Enough. Enough of this lying voice that wants to cause me to stop doing what God's called me to do, that wants to stop me from warring and fighting for people that I love, wants to stop me from speaking the truth in God. You know what? Can I tell you something? I loved it when Pastor Ed used to say to me, Marce, preach the gospel, and if you have to use words. Think about it. You should be able to preach the gospel with the very being of who you are. The very being of who you are. If Christ is in us, the hope of glory, then when we talk to people, they should see it. I shouldn't have to quote scripture to them. They should see the power of God living and functioning in me. Amen. It should be functioning in you. And I feel like this morning, just as I close, and I just want to pray, I just want to say, I feel that some of you need to take that one stone. God says all you need is one shot. I'm behind you. And you need to throw it, and you need to take that lying enemy down. You need to take him down and say, this is not over. This is only the beginning. God has something new and fresh for you. He doesn't want you to stay in that place. He doesn't want you to say, I can't get anywhere else. I'm going to go back to my old ways. He's saying, no, follow me. Go this way. Pick up the stone and knock it down, because enough is enough. If you can just stand with me, I just want to pray. And then Pastor Justin, I'll turn it over to you. But Father, I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, that you are alive and well in us. Jesus, Holy Spirit of God, just come right now. Holy Spirit of God, I thank you, Lord, that you are here. God, I pray right now over these minds, over these hearts, where, God, there's those that are brokenhearted. God, you are the healer. Where people have had voices that said, there's no way this broken heart can be healed. This no way what you've done can be healed. There's no way that these thoughts in your mind, good thoughts, thoughts of creation that God has put in your mind, for whether it could be a book or something like that. God, I just pray that you would give confidence and boldness for people to step forth. And God, I pray that we would, as people, take the authority with you in us to say, enough, enough, that enemy's coming down. God, I pray right now you would release your spirit. I pray that we would be people that would speak hope and life. That when others are struggling through this, that we can say, we know a God that will take down that enemy. Jesus, I just pray right now. I pray your peace. I pray your amazing, amazing grace. Amazing, amazing grace would come right now. Come right now, Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God. I come against that enemy of sickness right now in Jesus' name. I bind and I break it. I remind you, enemy, that by your stripes we are healed, and as our days are, so shall our strength be. I bind that enemy over not being able to get a job. And I speak right now to those that need jobs. I say, God, let their resumes go to the top of the pile. God, open doors where no one can open. God, I pray for a newness in our mind. God, may we be renewed in you. May our thinking be thinking of you. God, I pray that you would cleanse our minds and you would restore and heal. That, God, we would look at the positive things in life and realize, oh God, that you have so much more that you want to do through your people, oh God. Lord, even as we stand here and we pray for our nation and we pray for Maple Valley and we pray for Washington State, God, we know that your word says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and they will pray and they will seek your face, you will turn our hearts to you, you will heal this land. God, may we turn to you. Heal us here at GHCC. Heal us and restore us so that we can take that healing and restoration out of these four walls and bring healing and restoration to our community and bring healing and restoration to our state and to our nation. Oh God, may we be people that pray first and not speak first. God, may we be quick to listen and slow to speak. May we turn our hearts to you, oh God. May we learn to pray like never before, oh God. God, help us not to become critical of one another and to look at the things around us, but God, to look to you because you are our answer. You are our source. God, I pray a new and fresh anointing. God, rise up. And GHCC, God, we know that you are here. We know you have been with us. We are grateful for the years and years of your faithfulness to us here at GHCC. But God, I pray like never before, we would have a yearning desire to seek your face. God, if we need an answer, if we need wisdom, you say to come to you and ask, and you, who without finding any fault, will give to us generously. God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I just want to say one thing to you. That is, the Lord bless you and keep you. And may his face shine upon you and be gracious to you each day. Thank you, Pastor Justin.